What is your total?
To cost you?
20%.
I'm at 10.
Okay. You got it.
Oh, Dana's full.
We have office on
that. Dana's got that.
We have office on that channel you can call into.
We got all set up.
I can show it to you, that's just not how it works.
I'm just trying to figure out.
It's 4 o'clock.
Well, before we leave into legislative, before we get to this on here, she's got some just needs to be agenda.
Because based on that proposal, we're anticipating to spend that much and contribute that much to the pool. That creates a balance in the pool from which to draw.
Right, and we want to draw from the pool also.
What it'll boil down to is you have to cut whatever you appropriate for your budget, you've got to cut it out of theirs because they've already utilized all those funds, is what it boils down to.
That was in better English.
What?
What it boils down to is executive has already utilized all of the IDC funds for whatever they're putting as IDC costs. So if you choose to pay a portion of your salaries with IDC funds that we have contributed, then you have to subtract that from the executive's budgets is what would end up happening.
That gets me closer to understanding. It's because they used it all, and they used us to be a part of that, to be a part of the calculation, and then they wouldn't have used all of the benefit of IDC fund if we considered it and budgeted it all out for themselves. So, kind of, they used it all.
What?
It's not necessarily that it's for themselves.
They used it all.
Congress too.
Executive used all that IDC
services. Yeah, that's the basis of IDC.
Well, we didn't have any more right to do that.
You there?
We would.
Yep, you are.
Hello, Shannon.
Hello.
It's Archie.
Hi, Archie.
Hold on just a second. Okay. We're on, okay, we're back in. We're looking at the OFPR budget first.
Question.
Did you get your email?
I did, I have a question.
Okay.
Is this on template?
Yes.
We wrote some pay increase on our template.
Where's Eli?
What's the question?
What's your question again?
I'm looking at this template. It doesn't look like what I remember as approving, but it says lump sum pay increase as a form of salaries and wages.
Oh, I see that.
Yes, that is the form in 1750.
It says lump sum pay increase?
Yes.
You wrote it. Own it, sister, own it.
I would have written merit, performance bonus. I would have used the language in the law. But anyway, so this the position that they're taking in this salary is that they're not going to have the opportunity to have any merit bonus consideration?
Eli?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't want to speak for their budget. I know specifically in discussions, I believe with some members of Congress, the plan was to budget for merit in a separate bill, very similar to how we did this year.
Well, I agree, but how do we know what this number is? We're just going to do the math on it?
Correct. I believe executive has chosen to budget 1.5% for their merit, and they have included that in their budget submission, which the smaller the department, the more you need to budget right at 3%. And I believe that's been the case for OFPR and Congress in both of these. So it would just simply be a calculation of 3% of the salary and wage line item, plus any part-time employees.
Okay, well, this is a worksheet. I'm surprised that it being a worksheet that it hasn't been. So we need to add a calculation of 3% if we have it, right?
Well, no, that will take place in the merit bill.
I understand where it's going to be appropriated. My question is, where is something in writing that shows the workup of that?
It wasn't included in the template for 1750. So it would have to be created specific to whatever merit bill we move forward with.
Okay, so a lump sum pay increase denotes a mid-year, what is it called, a base pay adjustment?
Correct. If there
so
are going
to be a lump sum pay increase means base pay adjustment?
If that were the case, yes. Base pay adjustments could go in that line for a lump sum.
Yep.
Base pay or in pay increases.
Base pay increase.
Yes.
Alright, so there's no base pay increase because even if it was in a different bill than this one, they're not proposing any base pay increase.
Right. No.
Okay, well, we've got the OFPR budget in front of us. Congressman Mason. $4,850.
whistleblower hotline, you're going to have other costs that are included in there. You're going to have standalone landline. Ours is paid more through IT. Theirs is impacted by IT. I don't know what all goes in that calculation, but I imagine.
Is he sitting at the desk? I can hear him.
Yes, he is.
He's at the end.
I believe that's just a budgeted figure for operations expense that would include the ability to be able to spend that money for postage, office supplies, outside printing, or any other item that may pop up in operations expense.
Okay. The dues and subscriptions description is GASB, OFCPA, and CPA. What does that mean?
These are subscriptions that Mr. Corbin had, so I'm not sure. That's governmental county standard boards for the GASB, the OSCPA, I'm not sure, but the CPA is Certified Public Accountant. We get several publications concerning auditing and when things change and rules and regulations and stuff like that.
I don't see.
Some of the years of the OS, it could be.
Well, I make sure to check and make sure those are full timely and needed. Then registration and training, it says describe in detail. I don't know, where's the detail for the registration and training?
There's not any.
Okay, I'd like the description for the registration and training. And then the rental equipment maintenance says describe in detail. None there. And I think professional fees, they list by source, none there. And equipment acquisition says detail. Any expense request over $5,000, I guess there isn't one. And other says describe and list amount. No description there. So those are the things I'd like to see.
Okay.
I don't know. We gave a template that says director program head for the legislative branch. It says accountant, executive branch official, and treasurer comptroller. I hope we made a worksheet that was for the legislative branch that was specific to the legislative branch, because I don't know why we have those signatures on the bottom of our worksheet.
Did you see my line?
I see your hand, red, 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 but I mean,
they tried to.
I don't get it.
I was asked to sign on the director line, and I refused to do so.
I don't get it. I think that we are paying people good money to create.
Are you there?
Computer guy, because we have a computer system and all of that is secure from, separate from the nation, and he's the one who sets that up and works on that for us.
So that could be clarified
yes.
more. Okay, all right, I was just wanting to cover those because I wasn't sure that you could actually put, I don't want you just to go back to your office and put something in there that just because.
Right.
Because I look at it as those funds are placeholders too for when you will need them in the upcoming year.
Right.
Okay, she's able to hear us, we're just not able to. She's listening to us. She said, make them fill in the information correctly on an appropriate form, please. Gotcha.
That's the material we wanted to cover and see.
Okay, we got you back. All right. We'll get those filled in and then we'll see it back on our agenda. Congressman Mason?
Yeah, Madam Chair, we have a time that we want you to have this back to us to consider the POTS.
I have one more question about the budget. On the summary sheet, which is the last sheet, Mr. Potts, just help me because our template is new to us this year. Was it possible for them to plug in their FY17 numbers and get a variance on that summary sheet?
It should be, yes.
Donna, if you can work with that too, the variance really helps me to see what you've done from year to year in budgeting. So if you can fill out that column on the summary, that would give us a variance.
So I can't really say what the going rate is on that. The only thing that I would input is for the chief audit officer is I think it'd be best if they're a CPA, if they hold that, because of all of the things that we deal with.
Okay. Donna's going to try to have this filled back in by next week. Week from today.
And, subject to the maintenance changes, somebody could do to approve that.
If the committee wishes. do we mean to do the 16th, or do we want to do it earlier? The 16th will work for me.
We have to do the 10th.
That will work for me too.
The 16th.
The 16th? The 16th, really? The 16th is a winner for everyone. The 16th at 10 a.m. Okay. I'll get that notice today. Alright. So you have for the 16th at 10 a.m. Well, a little bit before that. Alright, thank you. Alright, the next budget that we're going to look at is our budget. Everyone's got a copy.
First thing is the full-time positions and the salary wages. In the earlier discussions we had, is are we anticipating that number to change now after those discussions of half our wages being
Now is a good time to discuss what we're going to do with the receptionist position. Eli?
Madam Chair, more specific to Congressman Mason's question. I was not directed to, I have not received any information outside of seeing the proposal for IDC to say that our salary should come out of IDC. The budget's not been prepared that way. I didn't anticipate that. I don't see that that would need to change. I do remember when something similar was tried with executive salaries years ago, Congressman Mushing or made the recommendation to not do that. It is allowable. Your congressional salaries and your executive salaries are allowable expenses under the IDC pool or to be able to come out of the IDC pool. That's just not something that I'm prepared for. Fiscal year 18, I know that it is not, it's not budget neutral, it's not balanced at this time, based on the budget submissions that we've received this time.
Well, that would entail a lot of work to earmark everywhere that they've placed IDC expenditures and budgets. We'd have to go through all of the budgets and pull that money into one total. So to me, it's a lot of exploratory work to rein that in. And understand it. That's correct. We need to get budgetary law where it has to be consolidated in one place and then dispersed from there. So right now it's not in that form or format, and it would be a lot of work to do that work to figure out where it's all been dispersed throughout the executive budget. In my opinion.
Where's the authorization for spending money that Congress to appropriate funds?
The appropriation committee, I'll make a note of that, and we'll work on it for the next upcoming submission.
Yes.
The budget or the proposal for indirect costs, I believe, was contracted out this year. I don't know that it's set out anywhere for the executive or legislative function. There's plenty of room to work there. But that proposal that Congressman Supernaw has seen, has looked at, I am in agreement that initially we were slated to spend some of the IDC funds on congressional salaries. However, that wasn't requested of the company that submitted the proposal. It's not something that CA ever discussed. It's not something that appropriations ever discussed, to my knowledge. And so that's where I go back to my conversation with Congressman Supernaw. If your budget proposals match your IDC proposal, you shouldn't have any problems. You should have a balanced IDC pool. Where you get into an imbalance in your IDC pool is when your executive branch or your legislative branch budgets don't match what your proposal says, which is the case right here. We're slated to have IDC cover some of our funds. It was never really communicated. So here we are today with no IDC funds paying for a portion of our salaries. So we can go back and rework that to correct that imbalance. What you will need to do is pull whatever expenditure from the IDC pool you increase in your budget. You'll need to reduce IDC expenditures from other budgets that have been submitted by the executive branch. And that's a pretty handsome task.
Want to look at a dollar amount?
Maria?
So if we do put an amount in there, would that mean that we would have to advertise and go through HR to fill that position? Or could we put it down in contract and function the way we have been functioning with our part-time help? I prefer to do that.
I would prefer to do that.
I prefer to put it down.
Right now, we're at a place where it works. It works.
We have great, yes.
Eli?
I believe the clerk may be able to provide a little bit more clarification on this.
Okay.
I believe the issue required us to hire an employee as a temporary employee previously. And Congressman Hamilton may be able to address this more. I believe CA made the motion to hire that individual out of professional fees, and we were told by the accounting department that that's not allowable because we didn't put the contract out for bid. So we ended up hiring that individual as a temporary employee, and we reimbursed them out of professional fees because that is allowed. So you can either budget for it in professional fees, you'll need to put that contract out for bid and award it, or you can put it in some.
Can you please that you put your contract out for bid for professional fees?
Or you can put that money in salaries and wages and hire in accordance with policy and have those funds paid for out of it.
Right. I would prefer, I would suggest that if we're going to keep the receptionist position like we have been, I would suggest that we do it similar to what we have done with Mr. Jesse, that we have a part-time employee that we designate the hours that they're generally going to work and what their rate of pay is, because we've done that for the sergeant-at-arms position, and we set it up that way, is what I would suggest. Then we can avoid all the other crap.
Okay.
Otto?
I was just going to say, we did. For the sergeant at arms, we did not advertise, and I believe he was the only applicant, so it was like an easy hire. And it was a lot easier back then trying to get both of them for a pool of 10.
Okay. So,
want to
make a motion?
Sure, let's motion. What's the number we want to pay for the sessions? I don't really don't know how much I'm talking about.
Well, we've got 10 in here, but I don't know that.
Just what? It's on that calculation. It's
not working on the reception.
Right.
No.
Correct. It's also difficult. If you want this position to be a 2,080 hour a week or a year position, you need to budget for that according to whatever hourly rate you have.
I like what we're doing now.
If that's not the case, then it's a best guess because of special sessions and everything else. So I hate to say that. Pick a number because that number's always going to vary.
We don't know how many special sessions we're going to go into, and we don't know how many days the special sessions are going to last.
We're going to pick a good one.
Then we'll have other times during the year that we don't know.
just, you know.
It doesn't take care of that situation for this special, for this county legislative session. We'll still need to address that.
Oh, we need to address that. Congressman Cipriano?
Well, go on with that and let's go.
So we're gonna have to talk about that and just after we do this, we're gonna have to figure out how we're gonna pay Carrie for the fall. We have to figure out how we're gonna pay Carrie for the fall. Do you have anything about this budget?
What, yeah?
Oh, hold on. Hold on, Shannon, hold on, hold on.
I just wanna say, Shannon, while you're still on there, we didn't submit an indirect cost budget this year. A lot of people said that. What they did, because they didn't submit an indirect cost budget, they carried over the previous year. They got permission to carry over the previous year, which I think was inadequate. I think it was too low. And we're going another year with the indirect cost budget that's too low. So what happened is, what is happening is the chief, he just grabbed off what was left and what was budgeted before we did. We should have put that in there. They budgeted to pay half our salary in the indirect cost budget this year and last year. So, in effect, what it does, he dipped into the indirect cost budget, made his budget look lower, and then we're paying all of ours and makes ours look higher. And the amount of money is the same, except when you put the indirect cost budget, 25% roughly of that is paid by the federal government, not out of common fund. So nobody wants to say it's too much work to go back and redo it. That's where we are. I just want people to know where we are, not get confused.
Shannon, go ahead.
Professional fees, and I don't know if at the end of professional fees or equipment acquisition or other, but I think we need to spend some serious money on getting our code to where when our laws are amended or changed, we have some type of service that puts that bill, that statute in current form, keeps track of where, when we amended it, what the old law says, however that works. I wasn't around when they were looking at Granicus, but I'm gonna tell you right now, sitting here as a Congress member, I can't function in my environment as it currently sits. And I get complaints from people all the time that work with our code over in the executive office, in the AG's office and other outside attorneys, maybe even somebody in the courts before. And Osage students that are doing research and work in law school, wanting to be proud of our nation and do work in our code, and it is dysfunctional as heck. And I don't think that the executive would begrudge us one little bit to spend the money we need to get our code where it's functional and can be readily used and readily available, because it is not. There's some times that I'm working that I'm stumped and I have to quit my work. If I'm working over a weekend, make myself a note, call Shanna up on Monday and say, can you help me locate this? Because unless you know exactly what the bill's title is, you can't go back and find something. Unless you know the number or the exact title, I can't go back and find something that was passed in 2008 unless I know all those key factors. I know that the bill's there, so it's highly problematic. So I implore this committee to please, and maybe, I believe Trey was around when they were looking into Granicus. I don't know that Shanna was up enough in it to know how much money that we were looking at when we were looking at some type of system to help us keep track of our legislation better. But
I understand recently someone told me that there's a municipal, there's a company that tracks municipal laws and ordinances, and they do it almost in real time and publish it on its webpage. So I think we should look into that.
Right, but I know that there's a call. I'm not wanting to do the most expensive. I think we should look and see what's the most functional for how we operate. But I know it's going to be a cost. So I would implore that the committee please consider that. Maybe get a...
Well, you can put that on our next agenda, too.
Get a...
Some options.
A number to put in, to place into our FY18 budget before we pass it. I don't know. Congresswoman Chairwoman, I was thinking you guys are going to try to get this passed out today or not. Is it a work in progress?
I think this is a work in progress, too.
So, but you're meeting again? I mean, guys, I'd really like to have a number on it pretty quick.
The 16th.
Okay.
Get on the
16th.
Okay. That to me is just a necessary meeting.
Yes.
Thank you.
have two plans then. We'll just go with whatever. All right, next item is fiscal analysis template, which was Shannon Edwards' request. You've got 10 minutes for the next meeting.
So you give us the straight dope on what the money is by the rule. To me, it seems like it's the job of the legislator, the congressperson that has that piece of legislation, to provide additional information to support what your analysis says. And I'm not knowing what other duties Congresswoman Edwards feels like the budget analyst needs to put in his analysis.
Thank you.
I think that we're set to do that. Next, yeah, moving forward. I think we've set ourselves up in law to be able to do that.